Well, thanks for praying with me. It is it's good to be here with you today. I love this. We'll take a minute right now and let's put aside the concerns of the day. All right, and all the struggles that we have. I was reflecting on this a little bit earlier today. I'd gone to Mass early this morning, and on my way back, I was just thinking, it's so good to live in the present moment, right? I mean, you can worry about the future. You can worry about your health and your finances and what's going to happen to your kids and your job and food shortages and gas prices and inflation and, you know, supply chain issues. You get worried about a lot of things, right? China, whatever. It's just so good to be in the present moment. Where are you right now? You know, you're alive. God's given you another day, right? He's given you another day. You still have those that you love around you, right? Yeah, you might have a cross or a struggle, but God's not going to give you a cross that's too heavy to bear. You're going to get through it. You are going to get through it. You know, St. Alphonse Liguori, he once said, "He who trusts in himself is lost, but he who trusts in God can do all things." And God, I'm telling you, he gives you, that's one of the tests of life. He wants you to trust in him, and you will be able to achieve really the incredible, the amazing, the impossible if God is on your side. Really? If God's on your side, great, great things happen. And illnesses aren't bigger than God. Finances can be reversed and turned around. You know, they can dissipate. There's always opportunities for new beginnings. So I really want you to have hope. I really want you to live with that hope, to make room for God and to see the miracles that I know that he has in store for you. And of course, we'll take your intentions. I want to pray for two people. I got an email this morning from somebody who the family's really upset. They've got a young girl. I guess she's a young adult now. She's in her 20s or 30s, but she has mental illness. I think she has schizophrenia, and I think she needs medication. And she's gone missing for now about a week. And, you know, this prayer often brings back the missing. And they're concerned. They're trying to track her down. Her siblings are looking for her because her mother just died. So what a mess for the family. The mother died. Their daughter can't be found. She's with somebody else that has battled addiction. And I don't know where they are or what's going on. But the person who wrote simply said, "Could you please pray that they're safe and that they're returned?" So I certainly want to pray for those souls who are homeless, those who battle addiction, those with mental illness, those who are on the street because of drugs or money or whatever the cause may be. And I just ask for God's mercy. I want to pray for those who mourn and those who've lost loved ones. And I'm joined today by my colleague, Celine. Celine, thanks for praying with me today. It's good to have you here. Anything you want to lift up or pray for?
Hi, Drew. Yes, I'd like to pray for my cousin, whose 16th birthday is tomorrow, and right, also for my grandmother's husband. They've been separated for some time since her illness beginning in April. He's only been able to see her a couple times, and he's a frequent listener, so for him to know that he's not alone and to ease the loneliness that I'm sure he feels.
Gosh, I can't imagine that. I just can't even imagine how many years they've been together and to be separated like that. That's unbelievable. We'll pray. We'll pray for him right now. And you are not alone. We're here for you. We're your spiritual family. We certainly want to pray for you. Another person wrote to me, "Could you pray for a miracle for my son, Enrique? He's liver failure, needs a transplant, but it's not going to be put on the list for another 5 months." We'll certainly pray for that. We know how often miracles take place with those who are seeking transplants and have these issues. So we'll lift that up before the Lord as well. And let me just share one more, and then we'll pray together. If you're on your hold, I'm going to do my very best, I promise, to get you on the air. And if you ever want to join us, it's 888-914-9149. This person says, "I just want to praise God for all the blessings that he's given me in this past year, to thank you for your prayers. My husband, we were praying for his knee surgery. I just want to let you know, it went well earlier this year. He's walking great now. Back in July, my daughter gave birth to a healthy baby boy who is doing great. And others that I've asked for prayers have also improved. So I just wanted to let everyone know who's been praying. Thank God. I want to praise him for his goodness. But we do need prayers now. I have a biopsy, and just pray that it goes well. And pray for my osteoporosis, that it improves, and for all the pain that I'm experiencing." So, Diana, thank you for writing. We're going to pray for you now. And if you're on hold, I'll pray for you as well as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. We'll take our first call today from Denise in St. John, Indiana. Hi, Denise. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I just wanted to give you a thank you. I think I called you 2 months ago about my little niece who was with her mother. Drugs were involved, alcohol, and a very horrible boyfriend. Also yeah. gave my little girl a black eye. My nephew went before a judge, and the day I called you, I was in tears. But the next day, the judge gave him total custody. And if wow. she has doesn't do something within the next 6 months, she's going to be theirs. And she has a new wow. baby sister, and they're so bonded. But I wanted to thank Relevant Radio because it happened the very next day.
That's power prayer, Denise. Thank you. Let's pray for that situation. All right? We'll continue to do that.
And I just want to tell you really quickly that with abortion, I had a little fourth grader ask me what it was. Yeah. I explained it to her on, you know, age appropriately. But one thing I would like to say to the president or to anyone that has this idea, do you ever ask yourself, what would Jesus say? Isn't that like a simple thing? Do you think Jesus would believe in abortion? So that's how I answered it to her very simply.
That's awesome.
That's on my mind every day. And of course, I'm praying every day, Drew. And thank you so much for what you guys do. Oh, God
thank
bless
you.
You.
So beautiful. We're family. I love it. We're all in this together for each other, right? We're walking this walk together and learn. I thank you for Denise. I thank you for hearing those prayers. And I trust so completely in your mercy. Thank you for resolving what could have been a very ugly and dark situation. Pray for anyone who is in a domestic abuse situation, anywhere there's divorce right now, anywhere there's court or litigation underway. Pray for all those on hold who are crying out with me right now, Lord. And I just ask you to hear their prayers. We ask for those miracles and the resolution to those conflicts. We also give you thanks for the many ways you answer our prayers, large and small, for the answered prayers that are now in motion that we do not yet see. So I thank you for that as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Patricia, listening in Las Vegas. Hi, Patricia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I want to pray for my daughter She's 35 years of age, and she's in the hospital with COVID. I want to pray for her healing, her comfort, her peace, and freedom from fear. She's very afraid.
Yeah. All right, well, let's pray for her right now. She's been sick for about 11 days.
And, yes.
We will pray for her. All right, let's pray that from this moment forward, her health begins to change and she recovers. Do me a favor, Patricia. Pray for my daughter, Olivia, who's also battling COVID. Her symptoms are not very bad at all, but I just will ask for your prayers for her. And let's pray for your daughter right now. Lord, I pray for all those in the hospital where COVID has driven them. I pray for my producer, Tom, and his family who are battling COVID and all those who are facing this plague. I ask for the eradication of it. I pray, Lord, that we can reach this herd immunity and find the freedom from this, and we can put it in our rearview mirror. But I do pray for those treating the ill, and I do pray for those who are in critical condition now, Lord, that you hear these prayers. I cover them in your precious blood as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we're going to go to Twitter too. Well, if you put your intention there, if you would like to, you can follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. Post your petitions there. If you want to follow me personally, it's at Drew Mariani. I'd love to have you in there as well. Talk to you in cyberspace when we're off the air. Or go to Facebook.com. You can post your petitions or email me, drew@relevantradio.com. Lots of ways to get your intentions to us. But Maggie is monitoring those areas and is here to share some of the prayers that are needed. Maggie was coming in today.
Yeah, Kathy wrote to us from Illinois. She said, I have been the primary caregiver for my mom for the past 6 years. She has been in hospice since January 2021. I pray the chaplet and rosary with you every day. Today, I checked on her immediately after finishing the chaplet, only to find that she had passed away. I felt very comforted that she passed while we were praying the chaplet. She was 93, had Alzheimer's, and had suffered a lot. So may she rest in peace. Ellen wrote to us from New Mexico. She said, for Lauren and her unborn twin boys at 30 weeks, the doctor is concerned about how small they are and that the placenta might not be keeping up. So they said they may have to deliver by 34 or 35 weeks and start in the NICU. So pray for those babies that they might have some weight gain and for their whole family. Carol wrote to us. She said, please pray for the healing of my diabetes. I've been asking for this healing for over 20 years. Patty wrote to us. She said, please pray for my son, Jeff, that he passes a state licensing test that he's taking tomorrow, Wednesday. And then Shelby asked for prayers for a 12-year-old that's been diagnosed with cancer, and it's apparently spread to his bones. So let's pray for that 12-year-old and for their family.
So much suffering. Isn't it just amazing when we hear these intentions when I read them? Whatever, you're not alone. We're all in this together. We're one big family. We'll pray for each other right now, and we'll get through this. Layla joins us on this third deck as well. Maggie, thank you for sharing those with us. Layla's listening in Cedar Park, Texas. Lala is her name. I'm sorry. Lala, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I was actually calling to ask for a big miracle for my daughter, Rosemary. She's 55 years old, and she has been diagnosed with two aneurysms. One is from her heart to her neck, and the other one is from her heart to her brain. And then the third one is she's got a 3-inch aneurysm in her aorta. So I was asking God for a divine and miraculous healing. I was reading your book, and I see that aneurysm that that gentleman had, and he was healed. Yeah. And, you know, he was sent home, and when they found, I mean, they didn't find anything, that aneurysm was gone. So I was, that's what I was, you know, very attached to that prayer, because I know that.
Yeah, Lala, in the book, I just grabbed some emails that have come into me. You know, people write back to me and say, here's the miracle. And that story of an aneurysm was a true story from just a listener who wrote back and said, hey, here's the miracle that took place. We know osteoporosis was healed, cancerous tumors disappeared. And I love your faith. Let's pray with faith, okay?
Let's do
that right now. We'll pray for your daughter, and we'll pray for those two aneurysms to shrink or disappear. And, you know, the Lord had said, look, you know, if souls would just put themselves completely in my care, he says, I myself would undertake the task, not just of sanctifying them, but lavishing even greater graces on them. And that's out of diary entry 1682, of St. Faustina's diary. The flames of the Lord's mercy are clamoring, he says. They're burning him. They're clamoring to be spent. And he wants to pour them out on souls, but souls don't pray big enough. We limit God. So I love the faith of this mother. Lord, I ask for miracles today. For everyone who's praying with me, I ask for Lala right now that her daughter can receive that miracle. I don't know what your will is. I always submit to it. But Lord, I ask for that miracle. I ask for the restoration of sight, for the disappearance of that cancer, for the shrinking, this disappearance of those aneurysms. I pray for those good test results. I pray for all those things that people now are asking for. And just let the miracles take place in abundance today as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Next call comes from Springfield, Tennessee. Hi, Priscilla. Good afternoon.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for taking my call, Drew. First of
You're
all,
welcome.
I'd like to thank you and spiritual family. A month and a half ago, I called for prayer request to sell our house, and we did sell last week.
Oh, praise God. God. That's great.
Thank you very much. Yes. And everything went well. Appraisal, house inspection was not challenged by the buyer. They just bought it as is. Everything was
That's great.
My second prayer request is the thing going between me and my children. The reason that we sold our house here in Tennessee so that we could move closer to my children and my grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have scheduled ourselves to be with my son for Christmas, and now we just tried to finalize our discussion last Sunday, and we basically ended up in some kind of a stalemate because my son is a doctor and he has taken his booster, and he's been asking us, my husband and I, to take the booster shot. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to take the booster shots anymore, so they have that position, and we have our position, and they're just telling us that we keep listening on some unscientific medical.
Okay. All right. Well, Priscilla, let's do this, because your signal's breaking up a little bit on me. I think I have it. For those who didn't hear, her son's a physician, and has his booster shot. She sold her home to move closer to her grandkids to be there, and wants to spend Christmas with the family, and now they're at a stalemate. The Priscilla and her husband don't want to get the booster. They've been vaccinated, but don't want to get the booster. And now we have this division within the family. So I just, let's pray for healing where there's misunderstanding and where there is a divisive spirit and where there's separation, especially between parent and child and grandchild. And Lord, I just ask for your mercy here. I do. I just ask for this particular situation. We thank you for the answered prayer. Priscilla came in with a miracle, the sale of her home. But I just pray right now for this most important intention. For anyone that has division amongst family members, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, in-laws, relatives, friends, I ask that you heal. That divine mercy be the balm, the ointment, the remedy that can bring healing to that division, to heal those wounds. I pray for new beginnings. As we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Mike in Greenfield, Wisconsin. Hey, Maggie, were you counting those? I lost track of where I was because I'm hearing a delay in my headsets. I'm not sure whether I got all the... Yeah, did I finish that decade, though? Was I through that? Because I was really thrown by my audio. All right, Mike in Greenfield, Wisconsin. It's good to talk with you today. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you, Drew. First of all, I'd like to thank you. I am.
Thank you.
Hello, Drew.
Yeah, I can hear him. Yeah, hi, Mike. I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm having a little audio issue right now, but you go right ahead.
Well, I'd like to thank you and everyone at Relevant Radio for all that the folks that you folks do. It's been a tremendous source of strength and knowledge for me. And today I would like to ask for prayers for my mom's friend who has cancer.
All right. Well, let's do that. Mike, thank you for your kind words. And I want to pray for all of your personal intentions. I know you really didn't ask for anything personally, but we'll pray for your mother's friend. It's your mother's friend who has cancer. And I just pray for this situation. I pray for Mike, all that he voiced. I pray for Alma and Christina and Sophia and Robin and Stacy and Carol and Francis and Teresa and everyone that's on hold and everyone who didn't get through and to everyone who's written to me now and everyone united to me in prayer. We just gather together in this final decade, and we give you our hearts. You know our temporal needs, you know our spiritual needs, you know our woundedness, you know what we need to be healed in. We ask you, give us a grace today to have the to carry our cross, but also the grace to truly trust in you and to see the tangible results of these prayers. So give you my heart, united to all those who now pray with me as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, pray for us.
Pray for
Our
us.
Lady of Good Help, Mother of Mercy.
Pray for
Our
us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe. Our Lady under all your titles.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Celine, thank you for praying with me. I know there was a little bit of an audio delay there, so my gratitude for your patience. My apologies to everyone who is listening. I hope it didn't disturb your prayer too much, but we'll get that remedied. Please pray that it gets remedied. All right, I'd appreciate that. When we come back, let me just tell you what's going on. This was a fascinating story, and I don't know all of the answers to what is behind it, but I'll tell you what one expert is saying. There has been this weird rise in eating disorders amongst young men. And you may not be even aware that your son or your grandchild or your nephew might be having it. It's claimed that pediatric wards are seeing eating disorders with even young boys right now at increasing numbers. It's more severe than even girls. And that probably will shock you because we know what has happened. Wait to hear what might be causing this and why boys may be experiencing it in greater number. I'll fill you in on a story I think is worth talking about when I return.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Wanna be there when the darkness closes in to make the truth a little clearer. Wanna hold you close but never hold you back. I'll be the banks for your river.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, so good to be with you. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for praying with me. And I do pray for those who struggle with eating disorders, whether it's anorexia or bulimia or whether it's a compulsion to overeating. You know, there are triggers a lot of times that set this off. When it comes to eating disorders, I know people tend to chalk it up to something that's something girls do. Right? You know, whether it's bulimia or anorexia or whatever it might be, but it's usually an issue that teenage girls deal with. But I saw a story over the weekend. It was in the Wall Street Journal, and they're indicating it may not be the case anymore. And I thought, why would that be? What's going on? So doctors that they consulted around the country said that their patient load, they're now starting to see a lot more males. In fact, one doctor said that he's got a 15-bed in-hospital unit. A third of those patients are now male. Another doctor says that, you know, her caseload, it's been 1-2% male. Now it's 6%. And the reason that's behind this, they think, and again, I tend to agree. My next guest, I'm sure, can shed some light on this. You know what they think the reason is? It's social media. Now, we know what social media has done with filters and being able to thin and put lighting on and all these different things. We know how false sometimes the image is that kids see. And, you know, when you're young like that, I mean, your own body image is still, the way you view yourself, I think, is still in somewhat of a development. So social media, not only do I think, this is my personal opinion, I think it's played a huge role in the rise in anxiety levels amongst this younger generation, amongst multiple generations. We see it also, though, in perhaps eating disorders. The journal cited the case of one boy in Kansas City whose whole life revolved around baseball and playing for the Royals. Well, he was doing pretty well, right? And he was told he needed to improve his 60-yard dash. So he figured, you know, if I lose a couple pounds, that'll probably help me do that. So the only problem is that he went about it the wrong way, which you know, he learned on Instagram. He ended up in a hospital because this thing got so out of control with anorexia. According to the journal, here's a stat for you. They did a study in 2019. They studied 7th and 8th graders in Australia, and they found that in the prior 12 months, 45% of boys, 45% of them, it's almost one out of two, engaged in risky ways to control their weight. That's unbelievable. You know, as a young boy, I never thought about my weight. You know, you're out running, you're out playing. I mean, body image was not a thing, at least in my generation. I think it's radically different today because, you know, you're not staring in a mirror all day long, right? And when I say a mirror, your cell phone, that tablet, that Facebook, Instagram, Twitter account, whatever it is, your social media platform where you see yourself and you see others, you know, I think it gives you really a false sense of what is normal. I was shocked. You know, almost one in two boys, 45% of boys engaged in risky ways to control weight. They'd skip meals. They'd exercise compulsively to lose the weight. They demonstrated these unhealthy attitudes towards food and body image. That compares to nearly 52% of girls in the study engaging in disordered eating behavior. So the study found the behavior among both boys and girls to be significantly associated with having social media accounts, and in particular with having three or more accounts, which is also quite revealing. So, you know, I've invited today Dr. Leonard Sachs. He's a physician in Exton, Pennsylvania. He's also a psychologist, and he's been a great friend of the show. He wrote a couple books, and I'm going to give you the names of these books. I think they can really help you. I mean, they're eye-opening, especially if you have young boys or girls. He wrote four books. One is called Why Gender Matters, Boys Adrift. We've spoken to him about that. Is the second one. Girls on the Edge and the Collapse of Parenting. And I'll have him plug you in into what those books are all about in a minute. But let me bring him into the conversation today. And of course, you're welcome too. If you want to join me, it's 888-914-9149. Maybe you're seeing this in your family or somebody you love. You might want to tap into the expertise and genius of Dr. Leonard Sachs. Doctor, good afternoon. Thanks for taking time to be with me today.
Thanks for inviting me.
This is surprising to me. I never would have thought of boys as being susceptible to eating disorders, at least not on the rise like we've seen with girls. I always thought it was principally a female issue. Is this because they have too much time on their hands? They're looking at social media way too often? I mean, what do you make of the report? What are you seeing in your own practice? Shed some light on this.
Well, I do want to put things in context. My eyebrows really went up. That Australia article, I don't really buy that, to be honest. 45% of boys, that doesn't jive at all with what I see. It is not the case that 45% of boys have disordered eating. I looked at that study. It was a fairly small study of 7th and 8th graders from Australia. I haven't been in Australia in a number of years, and I'm not sure how relevant that is to us. You did also cite the expert who said that 2 years ago, 2% of her patients with eating disorders were boys, and now it's 6%. That's more in line with what I'm seeing. And, you know, there's two ways of looking at that. One is to say, whoa, 2% to 6%, that's a tripling in the proportion of boys with eating disorders in 2 years, which is true. But you could also say that, okay, 6% of her patients with eating disorders are boys. That still means that girls outnumber boys by more than 10 to 1. So I think that that's more in line with what I'm seeing. Boys are much more likely today to have eating disorders than they were just 2 years ago. That's true. However, the great majority, more than 9 out of 10 kids that I'm seeing with eating disorders are still girls. It's still more of a girl thing than a boy thing.
You know, has it always been the case, or has social media played a pretty significant role in exacerbating this behavior.
It has always been the case that eating disorders are more common among girls than among boys. And by always, I mean always. So Joan Jacobs Brownberg is a professor at Cornell who studied the history of eating disorders. And she has found that going back to medieval period, there were girls who would certainly meet criteria for what we would today call anorexia nervosa. This has really always been an issue among some girls. It is more common today than it was 100 years ago or 500 years ago. It's always been more common among girls than among boys. But I thought that what I really learned from that article in the Wall Street Journal was that boys are not invulnerable to the toxicity of social media. That once you start looking at social media and you start entering terms into social media, if you're a teenage boy who's concerned about, who wants to be a great athlete, you're gonna start getting all these pictures in your feed of boys your age who look amazing, and you're gonna start feeling inadequate. That's the way social media works on teenagers. It promotes these feelings of inadequacy because it shows you other kids your age who are totally amazing, and you don't look like that.
So you know, what's the arc of this? I'm just thinking, look, you say for generations, women have had this problem. Now, men are beginning to manifest it. Boys are beginning to manifest it. Social media is not going away. In fact, I think it's only going to become more prolific. There'll be new apps, new platforms. You've got a metaverse. You got all sorts of stuff coming. What do you see coming in terms of mental health? And even, you know, disorders like what we're talking about today, if these platforms continue to be an integral part or an intimate part of the life of our kids.
Well, you know, many people, many researchers and even politicians like Josh Hawley are now calling for legislation that would limit how these platforms gather information. One of the scary things, there's a great movie came out recently called The Social Dilemma, that interviews these researchers, and they point out that when you type in a phrase in Google, the way that the answers you get vary depending on what Google knows about you. Google knows how old you are, knows if you're a boy or girl, man or woman, knows what your interest is. And you're going to get different answers depending on who you are. You know, imagine if Wikipedia gave you a different answer depending on who you were. It would be weird. But that's what Google is, and that's what many of these platforms are. And many of the researchers and the politicians are saying, hey, we need to make it illegal for social media to gather all this information about us and to nudge us one way or another. And I think they're making a good point. But, you know, you and I, we're not going to write any laws anytime soon. We're not able to change any of this anytime soon. So the take-home message, you know, I'm speaking to parents this evening here in Orange County, California. What I'm going to tell them is you need to install parental monitoring apps. You need to know what your kids are doing online. You need to limit how much time your kids are spending on social media. It's very easy to do with these apps. These apps do work. A lot of parents are like, oh, you know, my kid's just going to Google, how do I get around parental controls on NetNanny? I actually spoke to people who work in NetNanny, and they told me they have full-time employees whose job is to Google the phrase, how do I get around parental controls on NetNanny? And if they found that a kid has found a hole, they patch it. The parental monitoring apps do work. And parents need to limit, govern, and guide how much time their kid is spending online. You know, with all due respect to this boy's parents, if they have limited his exposure to 20 minutes a day, which is a very reasonable limit, so he can still respond to messages from his friend, but not spend hours poring over pictures of other boys who look better than him, he might have had a very different outcome. Look, I'm not saying social media is terrible. It's a tool. It can be used well or badly. But if you don't know what your kid's doing online and he's spending 3 hours a day on social media, that can be really toxic, as that article illustrated.
Well, so many challenges, though. I mean, not just self-worth and self-image, but I think of these kids who face an era of pornography that I never knew, you know, growing up when I was a teenage boy like that. And it's just, there are so many things that threaten both the, you know, the male as well as you know, the female. And when we come back, we could talk more about that. We have these gender fluidity issues and so many other things that are now quite confusing. If you want to join us, let me open the phones. I only have Dr. Leonard Sachs for just for a segment more. And if you've got a question, maybe you've got a concern about your son or your daughter, their behavior, if you're concerned about maybe they're anorexic or, you know, showing signs of bulimia or any other issue, feel free to dial in. Dr. Sachs, both a physician and a psychologist, and we'll take your calls, try to answer your questions. Love to hear your experiences, too. The number, 888-914-9149. It's a good time to call, 888-914-9149. We'll be back with more right after this.
Your voice matters. Call in now at 888-914-9149 to tell Drew what you think. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. The hope lives here. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, great to be with you today. If you are just getting plugged in, taking a look at, I really believe the effects of social media and the technology that we are allowing our kids to be exposed to. Boys have eating disorders too, and we're seeing a rise in them. The data is playing out. How significant it is, well, it really varies. I've invited today Dr. Leonard Sachs to join me. He's written a number of books. If you have sons, you might want to check out the book, Boys Adrift. He wrote a book called Why Gender Matters, Girls on the Edge, and The Collapse of Parenting. Four great reads for you. And we'll go to your calls in a second. You can get in. I only have a few minutes with Dr. Sachs, but if you are in a situation where you need some direction, advice, or want to share your story, it's 888-914-9149. Doctor, before we go to the phones, I do want your take on parents and what they can do just to identify whether or not their child is having this problem, because sometimes parents are too close. They don't see it. They don't recognize it. We all want to give our kids phones so they're safe, right? We can be in touch with them. And yet it seems that this device is more toxic than ever, you know, affecting everything from the way kids view themselves to the increase in anxiety levels. What are some of the signs? And ultimately, yeah, Before we take these calls, how do you keep kids safe?
Well, you mentioned risk, and I want to share an experience at a boys' Catholic high school. The administrators were concerned, you know, the boys are ready to be picked up by their parents, and all the boys are looking at pornography on their phone, and they're showing one another this porn. And so the school did something very courageous. They did a survey. They surveyed all the boys and asked them, in the last week, how many times have you looked at porn on your phone? Not at all. Once or twice every day. And more than 90% of the boys said they were looking at porn every day. Then they surveyed the parents, and they asked them, how often do you think your son looks at pornography on his phone? Never, once a month, once a week, every day. More than 90% of the parents said never. The parents had no idea what their own sons were doing. And it was very courageous, because the school then shared the results with the parents. And it was courageous, because the danger is that parents might think, oh, the boys at this school are all perverts, I'm going to transfer my son to another school. In fact, this is universal. Boys who have a phone, if you don't have a parental monitoring app, look, if all the other boys are looking at porn, it's very hard for your 14-year-old son to say, oh, but I am virtuous, and I will not do that. It's right. Not fair to put your son in that position. You have to allow him to say, hey, my evil parents installed this app on my phone. They're going to see everything I look at, so I cannot look at that. You got to be willing to be the evil parent. You got to install a monitoring app on your kid's phone.
All right, let's grab a call or two. You can get in, 888-914-9149. Steven's listening to us in Oregon. Steven, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Good to have you.
Great. Okay. I had that problem when I was 14. I grew up in a extremely abusive family. And so I would purge a lot of my food out because I didn't like taking in what I took in food represented people who abused me. And I really never gained a lot of weight. I gained a little bit, but got into that habit of purging and really it wasn't until I was in my 40s when I realized that I started gaining weight because I was under stress, and the best way to relieve stress that you can get away with is like not smoking pot or doing drugs or looking at porn, because I really didn't care about that. I could get really high from eating some of the latest foods that are really very intense caloric intensity, like flours and sugar. And it's available everywhere, and it's really cheap, and you can stuff yourself with that. And I know guys who are 500 to 800 pounds, or were 500 to 800 pounds, and we went to an underground group where we were able to lose weight, and it was kind of like joining it was very dictatorial, right. But you know, you kind of, you realize you're doing this to save your life because you're out of control, right, with eating stuff, you know. And I've never been arrested for fat driving. But, you know, so it's kind of, I feel like it's kind of unfair to people who are alcoholics or drug addicts. And I understand exactly where they're coming from, because
when so you're saying basically what you had was an addiction there. And doctor, let me just pause Stephen for a second. He shared part of his story, overcame his own eating disorder, started when he was 14. Your thoughts for him?
Well, I'd be anxious to hear if Stephen is doing better now.
I am.
Okay. And what do you think was the key in healing?
The key in healing was to be able to let out my suffering to Jesus. And it was more or less like a spiritual awakening. And I know people who were alcoholics who had that same awakening, you know. It was like an aha moment. And it's not just one time, you know, it happens more than one time, you know, it's kind of like a lifelong process. When I quit the first time, when the second time I came back to it, it was vicious. It was the first time I was doing this knowingly, but the second time I was kind of unknowingly doing it. It was like a pathology. It was very vicious. It took me over. And, so nobody ever says anything about boys who are overweight, but you know, I mean, like in my school in 1970, there was one boy in the whole school that was fat. And look at the schools now, and it's like everybody is overweight. They're just eating a lot, and I think it's comfort. They're trying to comfort themselves or assuage themselves. And because of a lot of stuff going on, and it's worse than pornography. I mean, pornography can take you over when you're isolated socially, and you just don't want to be isolated socially. That'll make it worse.
All right, doctor, I only have a couple minutes for you, so I'll let you respond.
Well, I certainly agree with Stephen that there is that spiritual component to addiction, and I've counseled many addicts over the last 35 years. And as Stephen points out, alcoholism has a lot in common with cigarette smoking or drug addiction. In all those cases, there's that loss of control. And so many programs that are effective have found that the key is to lead that person to say, I can't do it myself. I can't fix it. And you call on that higher power, to borrow the term from the 12 steps, the Alcoholics Anonymous. I call on that higher power to do it for me because I can't do it myself. And that's the spiritual walk that many addicts have to take, where they have to confess their own inadequacy and look to God for healing.
Well, Stephen, thank you for your call. We do appreciate it. Doctor, I only have about a minute left. My apologies to Liz and everyone else that's on hold. We'll try to get your calls another time. But your books, if you would recommend one, which one would they be, Doctor? What's the best way to get just connected to you in general?
Well, for this topic, it would certainly be my book, Boys Adrift, The Five Factors Driving the Growing Epidemic of Unmotivated Boys and Underachieving Young Men. But if anyone goes to my website, leonardsax.com, S-A-X, you'll be able to email me, and I will do my very best to respond, maybe not overnight, but certainly within a couple of days.
That sounds great. Doctor, thank you again. Appreciate you being with us. Keep up your good work. We'll talk again soon, I hope, okay?
Thanks for inviting me.
All right. That's Dr. Leonard Sachs. His website, leonardsachs.com. You might want to check out Boys Adrift. I think one of his other books is well worth reading, and that's called Why Gender Matters. Well done by him. We'll take a short pause here. When we return, let's change gears. I found out that there are Catholic universities working on nuclear weapons, working on the development of them. Is that moral? We'll take a look at that and more.